You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday the 30th of January 2020, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting live at radioalbion.com. Well, it's Thursday, so that means we must have with us geopolitical analyst Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson from rustjournal.org. Matt, good afternoon to you, sir. How are you doing?
You know, I've read Stalin's articles in Pravda, many of them, and I have more respect for those than I do for the crap that Donald Trump just put out in this deal of the century.
Yes, because, of course, that's what we have to be talking about today. Donald Trump's Middle East peace plan, or should we call that Jared Kushner's Middle East peace plan or Benjamin Netanyahu's Middle East peace plan? It certainly has nothing to do with a Palestinian Middle East peace plan. I mean, just before we really get into it, I mean, I can't really condemn the Israelis wanting a homeland of their own, and I can't really condemn colonialism, because we colonized lots of places. We treated the Red Indians badly. We treated the Aborigines badly. I mean, it's just a part of life. We ourselves were treated badly when the Saxons came over and drove all the Britons into Wales, when the Normans came over and banned the use of the Anglo-Saxon language. And, you know, it's just one of those things when you colonize a country, and everybody has to colonize a country because there isn't unlimited territory, there is always going to be winners and losers. And those who are weaker will be squashed by those who are stronger, basically, and those who are stronger will take that territory. And that is what's happening over there in Palestine, and the rest of the world gets angry about it because we haven't seen it happen for 150 years or whatever, and because we condemn it with ourselves. But what I don't get is people will condemn our behavior, but many of them won't actually condemn Israel's behavior. And I think, you know, you have to accept that this colonialism side of it, but the fact that nobody actually points that out, they just sort of try and pretend that the Palestinians are somehow being, you know, somehow they deserve this, somehow they're you know, by firing rockets at Israel, they deserve to be hit with napalm and depleted uranium, and they deserve to lose everything. That's what really gets me. It's just the dishonesty about all of this. I mean, what are your thoughts on the Israeli colonial experiment over there in Palestine, Matt?
Well, the Black Hunt in a Jewish state in Palestine, Adolf Hitler, through the transfer agreement, believed in some Jewish presence in Palestine. That's not the issue. The issue is that they control American foreign policy, a huge amount of American money, that most of this drags the U.S. into fights over there that we don't have, that they have such a dominance in American society because of that. And you even have these anti-Zionist Hasidic Jews like Natura Carter. That's their big complaint. They said Zionism requires Jews to take over the foreign policy of their donor countries, and therefore making Jews into these domineering people, when that's not what at least not what the religious Jews are, according to Rabbi Weiss and that bunch. So from that point of view, it makes a lot of sense. That's really the issue here. I don't care if they pretend to be from there or not. The issue is that they have a hand in the American till and drag American soldiers over there.
So the issue isn't so much what they're doing to Palestine. The issue is that they're controlling all these other governments that Jews live in those countries, and they're controlling those governments and using their control over those governments to aid Israel. So that's the main issue with this, not the fact that Jews want to go and have their own homeland, as I say, because we support that. Well, let's have a look at what Donald Trump has to has to say about this. He says, a realistic solution would give the Palestinians all the power to govern themselves, but not the powers to threaten Israel. This necessarily entails the limitations of certain sovereign powers in the Palestinian areas, henceforth referred to as the Palestinian state, such as maintenance of Israeli security responsibility and Israeli control of the airspace west of the Jordan River. This vision creates a realistic two-state solution in which a secure and prosperous state of Palestine is living peacefully alongside a secure and prosperous state of Israel in a secure and prosperous region. So the Palestinians have the power to govern themselves, but not the power to threaten Israel. So what does that actually mean there, Matt? Because Trump is obviously putting this in flowery terms that make it seem as if, you know, it's all going to end happily ever after. What's the problem with this?
Well, that's on page three. That's on the right on, you know, almost the front page of this. And it means that Palestine can't have a military. It has no means of defending itself. That's what they mean by it can't threaten Israel. Israel is actually put in charge of its defense. It's not a state without a military, without the means to defend itself in the Middle East of all places. It can't have a state, not to mention the fact that they separate the concepts of self-governance and sovereign power. Limitations on certain sovereign powers means limitations on the power to govern themselves. This is crazy doublespeak.
Well, I noticed there was a bit about Muslims that come in peace will be able to enter the Al-Aqsa Mosque. And I thought, well, what do they mean by Muslims that come in peace? Is that Muslims that will submit to a cavity search before they go in there? Surely Muslims supposedly come in peace to their own worship areas. So what they're saying there is they're even going to govern the fact of or they're even going to govern Muslims that wish to go to their own areas to worship. I mean, there's not much sovereignty there. Continuing with what it says here, the United States does not expect the State of Israel to negotiate with any Palestinian government that includes any members of Hamas, PIJ, or surrogates thereof, unless the Palestinian government, including its members from Hamas or PIJ, unambiguously and explicitly commit to nonviolence, recognize the State of Israel, and fully satisfy the other Gaza criteria set forth in Section 9. Again, that sounds reasonable. I mean, any government should explicitly commit to nonviolence. They should reject violence as a means to achieve anything. I mean, but the state should have a monopoly on violence. That's what the police force and the army is. But they shouldn't be committing violence to just willy-nilly to citizens. So what does this mean, Matt? What's the problem with this?
Well, in order for Hamas to accept Israel or the Islamic Jihad, which is what PIJ means, they don't have to be. They can't be Hamas anymore. Hamas, it would have to completely rewrite itself and thereby lose its entire popular base in order to function in elections. Not to mention the fact that on the Gaza Strip, Hamas is the dominant political party. It receives Russian assistance. It's got Russian recognition. It's won legitimate elections there, on the grounds that we're going to make war on Israel. So automatically, this deal is void because there's no way they're going to change their popular base and cease being a political party that matters to satisfy the Trump administration. This is the most ridiculous of all. Well, I shouldn't say that, but it's one of the most ridiculous.
Well, once again, we're seeing that democracy, it doesn't actually mean the will of the people and who the people vote for. It means what the globalists decide it means that day, basically. Because what you've got here is you've got Hamas, who are democratically elected by the Palestinians to be their representatives, and they're being told, oh, no, you can't be because we don't like your policies. And so, you know, it just shows that democracy is a scam, basically. It's the same thing that's happening over here, where they say that the AFD are a threat to democracy, or nationalists are somehow a threat to democracy. Well, if they're popular and they get voted in, that's what the people want, and that's what democracy should be about. Continuing with the Middle East peace plan, the State of Israel will retain sovereignty over territorial waters which are vital to Israel's security and which provides stability to the region. The first initiative will unleash.
Let me interrupt you there. These are two separate things.
Okay.
That's on page 30. Well, retain sovereignty over territorial waters. That means that the state of Palestine can't trade without Israeli permission. That's what that means. It can have no naval presence. It can have no control over the cargo that comes into any of its shores or anywhere near it, because the waters are controlled by the Israeli Navy. Therefore, its trade is completely strangled. Overseas trade is strangled by the Israeli defense forces. So that's a separate thing. I separated that short bit out to show you how ridiculous this is. So now they can't trade without Israel's permission.
Well, don't they have a little – I mean, Palestine itself is just little enclaves dotted about the former land of Palestine, basically. There's just little villages dotted about. But isn't there some of them that are actually on the coast there? Can't they get to the coast there if they've been cut off from access to the coast by Israel?
Well, that's supposed to be, you know, part of the deal. But it doesn't matter because Israel controls the waters. That's why this little section is important.
Well, it's always been a very important part of the world, hasn't it? I mean, that area there, Phoenicia, that strip of coastline there, that's where everybody's sort of taken off from to get to Europe. It's one of the most important parts of the world. That's why in a lot of maps, that area is the center of the world, and you need access. You need access to the coast. I mean, didn't we have a similar problem with Danzig and Germany, and they couldn't have access to one another and couldn't have access to the coast, and that started the Second World War. Well, continuing with this, the first initiative will unleash the economic potential of the Palestinian people by developing property and contract rights, the rule of law, anti-corruption measures, capital markets, a pro-growth tax structure, and a low tariff scheme with reduced trade barriers. This initiative envisions policy reforms coupled with strategic infrastructure investments that will improve the business environment and stimulate private sector growth. Hospitals, schools, homes and businesses will secure reliable access to affordable electricity, clean water and digital services. Why haven't they got affordable electricity now? Why haven't they got clean water now? Why haven't they got digital services now? What's all this about, Matt?
Well, you know, that's why this show is so important, because most people, including university professors and journalists, are going to read this and just kind of glaze over it. The point is that this is about controlling the economy. It's a free trade claim. The rest of it says that billions of dollars of new investment are going to flow into the sectors of the economy, that they're going to be a part of the world trading regime. That means that the region will then be a property of the Western multinationals. The state, the so-called state, has no way of protecting its industries, can't have any tariffs, and is under essentially American and Israeli economic domination. That's what this is about. This is about, you know, these little regions being part of the world free trade regime, which means that they're going to be colonized by the big companies from Western Europe, the U.S., and Israel.
I notice there's a couple of other new bits of the Palestinian state appear to have popped up in the Negev Desert, I think it is, the Sinai Desert, the bit that connects Palestine to Egypt. There are two little green blobs there on Trump's map, which appear to be saying that there's going to be two new Palestinian settlements. Do you know what those bits are? Are they something to do with this economic side of it?
They have nothing to do with the economic side of things. Because this whole thing is about, you know, putting the IMF and the World Bank in control of these institutions, or of these so-called independent statelets, whatever you want to call them, enclaves. That's really all they are. But, you know, again, these tiny little places out in the desert, you know, will have zero impact as far as the welfare of Palestine is concerned.
There's probably just going to be a couple of factories out there that the Palestinians are expected to go and work in. I noticed Trump has also offered to send them, I think, $40 billion or something like that. But of course, that would have to be paid back. And it's essentially 40 billion pieces of worthless paper with nothing actually backing it. And the Palestinians would then have to pay that back through work. So it's basically a plan of enslaving the Palestinians, basically. Getting back to what it says here, every country spends a very significant sum of money on its defence from external threats. The state of Palestine will not be burdened with such costs because it will be shouldered by the state of Israel. This is a significant benefit for the economy of the state of Palestine, since funds that would otherwise be spent on defence can instead be directed towards healthcare, education, infrastructure and other matters to improve Palestinians' well-being. The state of Palestine will have security forces capable of maintaining internal security and preventing terror attacks within the state of Palestine and against the state of Israel, the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan, and the Arab Republic of Egypt. The mission of the state of Palestine's security forces will be public order, law enforcement, counter-terrorism, working with the state of Israel, the Hashemite Kingdom of Jordan, and the Arab Republic of Egypt, as described below. Border security, working with the three aforementioned countries. Protection of government officials and foreign dignitaries and disaster response. These specific capabilities may not A, violate the principle that the state of Palestine and all its territory, including Gaza, shall be and shall remain fully demilitarized, or B, derogate the state of Israel's overriding security responsibility, and 3, will be agreed upon by the state of Palestine and the state of Israel. So what is that really saying there? It seems to be saying that the Palestinians won't be responsible for any of it, apart from possibly on paper. Is that what it's saying here, Matt?
Well, I mean, if the listeners didn't laugh at that first few lines, then they have no soul. They say that country spend so much on the military, but we're going to relieve the burden of military spending in the Palestinian state. Can you imagine that they're trying to put this in the best way possible? It means that they have no military. It means that whatever little internal police power they have has to be so tiny that it can't possibly make any attack on any Israeli group anywhere. If Israel wants to smash this thing, it can do it tomorrow. It's actually trying to present this as a positive thing. Well, don't you worry. Israel's going to take care of you, and you'll have all that extra money to spend on hospitals and schools. It's almost like they were stoned when they wrote this, and they're laughing in a college dorm somewhere writing this. This thing is so absurd. They're trying to make it seem like a benefit. How stupid do they think these guys are? This is incredible.
Well, again, Matt, I think, you know, we can draw another connection here as well. When you look at Germany after the First World War, Germany was completely demilitarized and had its military completely taken away, and this was seen as a form of punishment, and it basically set the scene basically for the Second World War. Have we learned nothing? Can you see like a similarity here between the two, with the demilitarization of Germany and them saying you're not going to have any military at all, Palestine?
I definitely see a similarity, not just in the military realm, but also in the economic realm. The only difference is the Versailles Treaty didn't pretend that this is somehow going to benefit Germany, and they're going to be so much better off as a result. That's the only difference.
Yeah, they admitted it was a punishment. This is the thing, pretending that this is somehow the deal of the century. He has got some real chutzpah, has Donald Trump. Although each party will be in charge of setting zoning rules and issuing building permits in their own countries, zoning and planning of the state of Palestine in the areas adjacent to the border between the state of Israel and the state of Palestine, including without limitation, the border between Jerusalem and Al-Quds, will be subject to the state of Israel's overriding security responsibility. So I guess in those tiny little patches of land that the Palestinians have got left, the Israelis aren't going to tell them where they can build and where they can't build. Is that what's going on here?
Yeah, I guarantee you no one else is going to mention this section. It sounds very obscure. The little parts of Jerusalem and Al-Quds, which is supposed to be their capital, which is a small village just outside of Jerusalem, Israel's going to be in charge of zoning laws. So what little urbanization they have is going to be under Israeli control as to what businesses can go where, as to what housing can go where. This is actually very important. It doesn't sound important, but it means that the entire economic foundation of the country is going to be under Israeli control. And by putting it like this, talking about zoning laws, most people are going to miss it. But we didn't.
Yeah, Palestine's new capital, it's like this grotty little shanty town. There's not a lot there that is going to be their new capital and the new building. I saw it on RT today. They were interviewing the people there, you know, to see how excited they were they were going to be the new capital of Palestine. And nobody was particularly interested in it. If Hamas is to play any role in a Palestinian government, it must commit to the path of peace with the state of Israel by adopting the Quartet Principles, which include unambiguously and explicitly recognizing the state of Israel, committing to nonviolence, and accepting previous agreements and obligations between the parties, including the disarming of all terrorist groups. The United States expects that the state of Palestine's government will not include any members of Hamas, PIJ, or surrogates thereof, unless all of the following shall have occurred. And again, Hamas were democratically voted in by the Gaza Strip, I believe, was it, or the West Bank? Which one of the two was it that voted them in?
They dominate totally on the Gaza Strip. But we've mentioned this before, but they're actually calling them terrorists. Unless they follow these so-called quartet, this four principles, they're automatically a terrorist group. But, you know, Hamas could simply say, oh, sure, we recognize the state of Israel. We still want to destroy it, but we recognize it. You know, it's just stuff on paper. And in committing to nonviolence, well, you know, nonviolence depends on Israel, not on them. So they could actually agree to this and, you know, still interpret it. This is so vague that they can interpret it in such a way that they still can be Hamas, but their popular base is going to, they know it can't happen. They know this is a very popular group, that they're involved in trying to build the economy under sanctions, which is almost impossible. It's something that we didn't mention this, but Trump says in this thing that Hamas has destroyed the economy over there without mentioning the fact that the place is strangled by Israel and the U.S. to a great extent, as if it's Hamas's fault. So it's the most popular organization over there. And of course, they're very pro-Iranian. And so is Islamic Jihad, which is connected to Hezbollah, which is also pro-Iranian. So Iran has a hand in here. So this is why they're so obsessed with Hamas, because they know that the people there are voting in pro-Iranian parties. And that's what the U.S. Is upset about.
Well, the economy comes up next. The Palestinians shall have established, transparent, independent, and creditworthy financial institutions capable of engaging in international market transactions in the same manner as financial institutions of Western democracies, with appropriate governance to prevent corruption and ensure the proper use of such funds, and a legal system to protect investments and to address market-based commercial expectations. The state of Palestine should meet the independent objective criteria to join the International Monetary Fund. So basically they're saying we want to open the country up for our usury banking system. Is that what's being offered here?
I could write a book on this paragraph alone. They're using all of these pompous phrases to basically say, we're going to control your banking system. It's going to be privately owned. Of course, they don't have the capital there to have a banking system that could be accepted by the IMF and World Bank. So, of course, it automatically means the Israelis are going to run in there. This whole thing says nothing about having their currency, by the way. They have no currency. It doesn't mention – that word doesn't come up at all. And I don't know what Western democracies has to do with the banking system, what a political system has to do with banks, but this is actually kind of a Freudian slip there. But this paragraph is the entire evil of the Western world smushed into just a few sentences. But that they use this ridiculous verbiage to basically say all that, knowing that the capital to do this stuff isn't present. Therefore, because of what they've said before, foreign governments or foreign corporations are going to come in and colonize the area and turn this little place into essentially little Israel. And that's what this is, despite all this ridiculous verbiage.
The Palestinians shall have ended all programs, including school curricula and textbooks, that serve to incite or promote hatred or antagonism towards its neighbors, or which compensate or incentivize criminal or violent activity. So I guess that then what they're saying there is you can't teach history to your children. You can't teach that this land was once full of Palestinian Arabs and it's now full of Israeli Jews who are oppressing you. I mean, what are they going to do? Just make up a fake history or something? That's what they're saying here, isn't it? They want to ban all the teaching of history.
Well, yeah. And what it doesn't say is who's going to be in charge of deciding what creates antagonism, what creates hatred. And of course, Israel isn't under this rule. So essentially it means that the U.S. and the Israelis are going to be censoring their textbooks in schools and in universities. That's what this little sentence means. Well, I don't know what – violent activity, terrorism, the U.S. defines that as anything that's anti-Israeli or anti-American. So to interpret this, it means anything that we don't like ideologically in your school system, we will destroy it and then substitute it with our own. And we're in charge of deciding what fits what. So this is on page 34, so this is kind of deep into the program. A lot of people are going to miss this, but this is one of the worst parts of it. It says your entire educational system and culture is under our control.
Globo Homo for all the Palestinian schoolchildren, basically. Well, once these measures are completed, the United States will encourage other countries to welcome the State of Palestine as a full member in international organizations. However, the State of Palestine may not join any international organization if such membership would contradict commitments of the State of Palestine to demilitarization and cessation of political and judicial warfare against the State of Israel. Those through such membership in international organizations, other countries will encourage the participation of the State of Palestine as a respected and responsible member of the international community. Judicial warfare? So what are they saying? You're not allowed to take Israel to court? Is that what it's saying?
I've never actually heard those phrases before, judicial warfare. But this means that no politician, I think it means that no politician can say anything opposed to Zionism or the State of Israel. But now you have a situation here where, you know, you have no economic independence, you have no military, you have no local economy, you don't even have your own currency or banking system. And now here on page 35, you have no diplomatic independence. What the heck kind of a state is this? This is worse than, I mean, colonies had it better than this. But, ridiculous phrases like political and judicial warfare. This is why I think that Kushner and Friedman, these guys were smoking pot one day and wrote this like a bunch of college kids. That's what it sounds like. And responsible member of the international community. We know what that is. That means liberalism. You know, this whole thing could have been written in like two paragraphs. But saying that they can't join any international – well, they're referring to Russia, China, and Iran. They can't join the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. So now they have no foreign policy that's not under the control of Israel. This is ridiculous.
Well, the emergence of this new reality of regional integration will require a fundamental change in international politics, in the diplomatic sphere in particular. The Arab countries, along with the State of Palestine, should cease to support anti-Israel initiatives at the United Nations and other multilateral bodies. In particular, they should not lend their support to any efforts intended to delegitimize the State of Israel. These countries are expected to end any boycott of the State of Israel and oppose the boycott, divestment and sanctions, commonly referred to as BDS movement, and any other effort to boycott the State of Israel. The United States views the BDS movement as destructive towards peace and will oppose any activity that advances BDS or other restrictive trade practices targeting Israel. Revisionist initiatives that question the Jewish people's authentic roots in the State of Israel should also cease. Those initiatives fly in the face of not only Jewish and Christian history, but Islamic history as well. An important goal of this vision is for the State of Israel to be treated by all as a legitimate part of the international community. Well, I'm just picking up on things here. I mean, they don't actually have any history over there, do they? I mean, the majority of their DNA shows that they're Ashkenazi Jews. They're Khazar Jews. They don't, and they've been in Europe for 2,000 years or whatever it is. So no, they don't actually have a claim over there. And what they're saying is you're not allowed to say that.
That's exactly what this says. This is why I have it in here. This is probably, I think this is the worst one yet. Because now they're crafting exactly what your school system and government and judicial system and any public figure is allowed to say about the Jews. You can't have any, certainly no international support for any, you know, BDS, which, you know, that's a thing on college campuses in America. That has nothing to do with Palestine, but it shows you what these authors care about. You're not allowed to question the official view of Jewish history, which, of course, the right view you just stated. So now their entire historical establishment has been established by the West, by Israel in the U.S. This thing is unbelievable. They have no freedom of speech now. They have no internal independence. Their entire world, cultural, political, judicial, in every respect, economic, diplomatic, is under the control of Israel. And this is called an independent state in the United States of America today.
It's a totalitarian takeover. That's what it is. The State of Israel is not a threat to the region whatsoever. Economic conditions and Iran's malign activities, however, pose an existential threat to many of the region's states. Integrating Israel into the region will allow it to assist across a wide range of economic challenges as well as counter the threats of Iran. The Iranian attack on Aramco facilities in Saudi Arabia in 2019, for example, shocked the world's economy and makes clear the necessity for the countries of the region to work together on security. Well, hang on a minute. Palestine gets on okay with Iran. So does Syria. So do a lot of countries over there. And the attack on the Aramco facilities was carried out by the Yemen militants. You know, they admitted responsibility for it. We've seen no proof that it was anything to do with Iran. This is saying they've got to change their whole politics, basically. They've got to change all their allies and all the people that they've traditionally and historically been allied with. They have to give that up. Isn't that what it's saying, Matt?
That's exactly right. This wasn't proofread because everyone knows that Iran had nothing to do with it. We had a whole show in the Aramco attack here. But they give it away when they say integrating Israel into the region. That's a key phrase here. It means that this is an Israeli takeover. And this is what this whole thing is about. And that its ultimate purpose is to control the Iranians, to create this ring of dependent states, dependent on the West, dependent on the banking system, to control Iran. That's the point of this. This is a greater Israel. This is unbelievable. But the fact that someone put this in, we know now, of course, Iran had nothing. We were the first ones to mention this. They had nothing to do with the attack on Saudi Arabia, and nothing. There was no damage done anyway. And that they have this in there, and that was let go, and this is an official document. This shows you these are college kids. This is ridiculous. I don't know what else to say about it.
The state of Palestine will not have the right to forge military, intelligence, or security agreements with any state or organization that adversely affect the state of Israel's security, as determined by the state of Israel. The state of Palestine will not be able to develop military or paramilitary capabilities inside or outside the state of Palestine. A demilitarized state of Palestine will be prohibited from possessing capabilities that can threaten the state of Israel, including weapons systems such as combat aircraft, manned and unmanned, heavy armored vehicles, mines, missiles, rockets, heavy machine guns, laser radiating weapons, anti-air, anti-armor, anti-ship, military intelligence, offensive, cyber and electronic warfare capabilities, production facilities, and procurement mechanisms for weapons systems, military infrastructure and training facilities, or any weapons of mass destruction. So they're not allowed anything at all, are they, Matt?
They can't even have machine guns. It says right here, they can't have any aircraft. They really said this already. This is buried in Appendix 2C. You don't know journalists are going to read this. But this is not just demilitarized. Their police force can have pistols and I think shotguns. That's it. Absolutely nothing else. Heavy machine gun, I guess that means 50 caliber. This is unbelievable. Military intelligence, it is going to be – this just justifies the absorption of these areas into Israel. And yet the fact that it's promoted as create an independent Palestinian state shows you how these people actually define the term state. This is so arrogant. This is so absurd. This is a twisting of the language. Orwell would have no idea how to read this. It was so bizarre. It's way beyond anything he ever dreamed about.
Well, finally, we appear to have another bit of Globo Homo here. Equally problematic, while Palestinian women achieve higher levels of education and attainment than Palestinian men, Palestinian women constitute only a small percentage of the Palestinian workforce. By providing the Palestinian public sector with policy advice on best practices, encouraging private sector attention to this problem, and promoting a comprehensive strategy to empower youth and women, more women and youth will join the Palestinian labour force. Peace to Prosperity envisions a West Bank and Gaza where youth and women become entrepreneurs and business owners, have access to capital, and learn the skills needed to succeed. This project will increase job placement rates for Palestinian youth and women by providing them with career counseling, specialized training, and job placement services in a concentrated effort to employ them in higher wage, high growth occupations. So they want diversity quotas for women. They're not being shy about forcing this liberal agenda on them at all, are they, Matt?
You know, this means that a feminist group in the West is going to get a huge grant to go over there and attempt to rebuild their mentality towards women. You know, unemployment in the occupied territories is like 40, 50, 60%. So what are they talking about, bringing in more people to compete for jobs over there? I knew I was going to – I'm reading this thing. I said women – this is going to come up eventually. And there it is, page 17. And of course, it does imply access to abortion, because that's really all abortion is you know, keeping their careers on track. So this is I know it's going to come across this eventually, and there's a lot of code words in here. But ultimately, what that means is that the Israel and the U.S. is going to completely destroy Islam, going to destroy any traditional culture over there, and bring in abortion and easy divorce and affirmative action quotas for women. I knew I was going to read this in here eventually, and then there it is, page 17.
Well, that's only up to page 17. There's actually a lot more in there that we could go into, but we don't have time. So thank you very much for coming on today, Matt. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Grandpa Lampshade. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.